In the name of Jesus, amen. Preaching is a very strange thing to do. Seems like these days it's a relic of a bygone era, an age of philosophers and prophets, not the age of YouTube and podcasts. And yet the church is gifted with this divine call, this special authority of this audible voice of a man, placed in the office to call to repentance and faith the sheep of God's fold. Jesus promises, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects the one who sends me." The preaching office of the pastorate comes with a very great weight, with a yoke, with a stole. "For this is not my pulpit. That is not my lectern. This is not my altar. These things are entrusted to me in order that I may faithfully speak from them and give from them that which has already been given." And so this great weight, when a preacher gets up into the pulpit, it is with much fear and trembling. Not necessary timidity, but an understanding of the reality of what he is doing. For when I think of that, in the stead and by the command of Christ, I am scared to death. Who am I that I should speak the word of God to you? That you should listen to the sound of my voice? Or follow me where I say you should go and not go? But isn't that the point of John 10? Don't follow me, or don't follow me except as I follow Christ, then follow me. You are the sheep of whom I have been entrusted to care for. Yet I am finally not the good shepherd. Jesus Christ alone is your good shepherd, as he is my good shepherd. You listen to the preaching of my voice only because it is Christ who put me here to speak this word to you. I cannot say whatever I want to say. I'm only the gatekeeper. I'm the watchman. And my vocation is to let Christ and only Christ speak. St. Augustine summed up well the dual nature of the pastoral office. "For with you I am a bishop." But with you, I'm a Christian. But then again, so many voices, but only two ears. So many voices, but only one heart. So many voices, only one voice that leads to eternal peace. What then is the sound of the voice of the Good Shepherd? Well, you can't know it by feel. After all, many will dress as shepherds. They will carry crooks like shepherds, and they will speak similar words. But they are really, in the last analysis, they are thieves and they are robbers, and they only come in to kill and destroy the flock. I mean, our parents always told us not to talk to strangers. But perhaps greater here is that we shouldn't even listen to them. For strange and false shepherds will simply tell you what you want to hear. They will smooth your ruffled feathers. They will stroke your ego. They will give you to eat of flattery food and drink. You have heard their promises. You have heard their promises that if you follow their vaguely defined God or gods, then you will be blessed physically, mentally, spiritually. You've heard them promise that if only you would believe more and you would give more, then all of your problems would go away. And you have heard them speak of the language of equality and the language of tolerance as if these were watchwords of the reign and kingdom of God on earth. And you've heard them market the name and the person of Jesus Christ as if it was a product to be sold in a store. His name, some sort of magical vocabulary word that fends off suffering and distress. And this all for the expressed intent of filling worship centers with warm bodies that do not think and speak But I would tell you that even more dangerous than the voices that come from outside are the voices that come from within. They say, don't listen to this word of God. No, accumulate for yourself teachers and preachers who prove the point that you have already concocted in your mind, which you believe to be the truth. Turn away from the truth and wander around in these fragrant gardens of the world of myths. You've heard them say also that the gospel is not enough, apparently. That you need other things than the gospel. You need spectacular things to attract the masses. After all, apparently, real shepherding, real ministry doesn't happen within the concave of this little church, but only happens outside of it. You need something that will connect with the people, with the millennials, with the post-millennials, and with the next generation, whatever we shall call them. As if to think that these individuals are an alien race apart from all sinners that have been born of Adam and Eve. In these lies and all the other lies that are spewed forth, the sheep stray from the fold, and they are stolen, and they are killed, and they are destroyed. And the sheep pen begins to look quite old and boring and narrow and gray. And they start to hear other voices. And then it becomes quite hard to decipher between the voices of the false shepherds leading the sheep unto wolves and the good shepherd who lays down his life for a single sheep. For how can you and I decipher the false words from the true words? It's actually quite simple, but we make it complicated. It's simple only by being in the places where He has promised to be, where He speaks consistently and persistently and patiently and even to the point of boring. The true voice of your good shepherd sounds very particular. Thou shalt not. For this is the law of God. This is how you are to lead a Christian life. I've called you as my sheep, and so live as my sheep. Also, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. For my heart is ultimately a heart of mercy, the shepherd says. No matter if they have a scarlet letter or they have a black mark upon them, I have come for them. They are mine. If you do not return to the places of His well-worn word and sacrament, consider how you will know the true voice of your shepherd, how you will know the difference between His voice and the voice of an impostor. For you can hear the word gospel, and it can mean all kinds of things in all kinds of people's minds. It's thrown around today. But the pure gospel is simply this, and you know it, Jesus Christ died for your sins, apart from your works, and saved you from everlasting death and hell. And He has made you His own dear sheep by His work. If the gospel of the forgiveness of sins includes anything that you have to do, it's simply not the gospel. But it also will not be the full Christian gospel unless the law is preached in its full severity. For the law of God is not something that you can keep. And as good Lutherans, you know that. You know that you cannot fulfill the law. But how many congregations, including the ones with Lutheran names on them, have exchanged the full hammer of the law with a rubber mallet? This do-it-yourself kind of Christianity, or how to be a better Christian, or how to be a better witness of the Christian faith, or how to be a better person just all around, so that you are so good at enlarging the walls of your own sheep pen. The law, no, always condemns sinners. It kills sinners because it makes them look at their own inward voices and what they have listened to, and so they will despair of themselves and know that there is no good within them, and they shall seek the good that is outside of them. If someone preaches good ideas and life advice and you begin to feel good about how well you're doing, that's not the full law of God. That's bear without teeth. It kind of gums you into feeling a little sour about yourself, or on the other hand, pretty good about yourself. If you can say the confessions of sins and not feel all that bad, then it's probably not a confession of sins. It's certainly not the law of God, nor is it the gospel of Christ. And that's the universal temptation to the church, to water down the law and make it palatable for our weak stomachs. So the law of John 10 is simply this. We are all too willing to walk away from the voice of the Good Shepherd and listen to any number of voices outside of the sheep pen. Your old nature, your inherited Adam, is far more excited about sports and possible scholarships and fishing and hunting and video games and destination vacations or whatever new reality show is on or whatever movie is now going to be released in 4K resolution or just about anything else that is going on in your life than it ever is by the voice of Jesus. And so is my flesh. Calling us sheep actually is a huge promotion. In truth, it's not so much the growling wolves outside of the pen that we have to worry about, but it is the wolves that we hide underneath our nicely fit, groomed, and woolly coats. There's only one way to escape the voices from without and from within that are false. That is to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, this one who became a lamb, a sheep to be slaughtered in your place. He was fed to the wolves, and his hide was our skin. To the wolves of my sin he was thrown, to my doubt, the wolves of my apathy, and the wolves of my weakness he was thrown. For the gospel of John 10 is this. The good shepherd lays down his life for his dirty, smelly, ignorant sheep to save them from the damning voices of the false shepherds. He is the door, and he will not allow a thief or a robber to snatch any single sheep of his pasture. He calls you by name. He leads you into his house. He gives you rest for your bodies and your souls, and he feeds you and makes you strong by these gifts. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice, Jesus says. And you know his voice. You have heard his voice spoken from this pulpit for at least 60 years. But here's the sad thing about gatekeepers. The gatekeepers whom the good shepherd places over his sheep. Some of them turn out to be robbers and thieves. Some of them, having listened to the ways and the myths of the world, they kill and they destroy. The words and actions of such gatekeepers are false to the will of the shepherd. And they are painful and they are divisive in the church. But in this world, pain and divisiveness is inevitable, even in the church. But here's the point. Even in spite of such gatekeepers, the good shepherd still speaks to you. For you are still here, and he still feeds you, even if the gatekeeper is wicked. His forgiveness of sins is good, even if his servants are not. The gatekeeper will fail at many times. And I am no exception. But Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, never fails. He never lies, and he never ceases to seek and to save that which is lost. Beloved fellow sheep of the Shepherd, this sheep pen may seem quite narrow and small because of our limited minds, But at the altar of God and His sacrament, it opens up into a broad and green pasture beyond our imagination. You have entered this place by the wounds of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls, Peter says. And as you come in and as you go out, your good shepherd will not fail to lead you to the good pasture. He is your shepherd. You shall not want for any good thing. He makes you to lie down in green pastures, and He leads you beside the waters of the holy remembrance of your baptism, by which He gives you abundant life. Find pasture here, dear sheep, for Christ feeds you His own body and blood. Find pasture here, dear sheep, for the sheep who are not of this sheep pen, they are being devoured by wolves. He wants you to go out and to seek them. And so you come to this place and you find rest, and then you go out in the Lord's name and in the Lord's work, and in your vocations you speak the word and the name of Christ. And this is your Heavenly Father's good work that He has appointed you to do, and that He smiles upon you when you do it. But you do not go alone, and this is not a condition upon your salvation either. Because the more you hear His voice, the more you will know it, the more you will treasure it, the more you will understand its vital importance in this very life. And He will lead you, and you will follow, until you finally come through death unto the fullness of new life. And you will no longer go out among wolves. Because He has come that you might have life, not just for a period of time, not just from point A to point B, but rather, as He says, that you might have it abundantly, which means eternity with Christ in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.